Daddy, Daddy, wake up.
Oh, dear. What is it? What's up? I ain't got to do the show, have I?
No, you have to do the bit before the theme music.
Oh, okay. Ready? Run the theme music.
What's this?
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
What's this?
It's Christmas time.
What's this?
It's all humbug, I tell you.
What's this?
Well, says team, a trusty old Red Rider carbine action 2 on the shot range model air rifle.
What is this?
It's the Total Christmas Podcast with your host, Jack.
He's an angry elf.
Hello, you beautiful people. You are looking fabulous, I have to say. Welcome to the Total Christmas Podcast. I'm your host, Jack. Right, should we start with the interactive bit? Okay, here it comes. How you been? Yeah, no, a lot of rain. Yeah, I know. No, it doesn't feel like spring yet. It's getting air, but it's not yet. Oh. Yeah, well, you're lucky then. Oh, God, the weather will turn soon. Yeah, but that's one thing us Brits like talking about, is the weather. And scene. How was that? Was it all right? Yeah? Okay, let's move on. So, I don't think I've got anything to report, actually. I don't think I've received any major emails that I need to discuss with you. No, it's this time of year, it gets a bit quiet. No one listens to the show, so everyone ignores me. So, we might as well get started, shall we? We shall. Let's start off with this one.
Do you hear what I hear?
Do you hear what I hear?
The nice thing about operating a tiki bar is that you realize there are better things in the world than alcohol. But you also know that alcohol sort of compensates for not getting any of them. Now, Americans enjoy things that are thoroughly British. We love to embrace an imaginary, idolized view of England that is full of country estates, afternoon tea, and sprawling manicured lawns. This is best reflected by the massive popularity of a long-running UK series that is shown on American TV. No, I'm not talking about Downton Abbey or The Crown. I mean The Great British Bake Off, or baking show here in the US. This televised baking competition is held under a giant white tent, and it is quaint, charming, and so properly wholesome. The participants are nice, down-to-earth people, and they include men, women, old, young, black, white, Muslim, and Jewish. Unlike cynical reality shows like Big Brother, Love Island, or The Bachelor, the mood of this show is far more positive and lighthearted. For 1 hour, we can really believe that all of the world's problems can be solved with a cake. Now, they also have holiday specials where contestants compete in Christmas-themed challenges. These shows will feature either returning bakers from previous seasons or celebrity contestants, like the cast of the Dairy Girls. In the most recent Great Christmas Bake Off, they were baking festive recipes like a big cake, a cinnamon loaf, and the ever-popular mince pies. When the winner received the show's iconic trophy, which is a glass cake stand, she said, "I'm so chuffed. What a lovely way to start Christmas." Chuffed? My do you hear what I hear impulses started cooking. Is this some kind of a baking phrase? You see, it is not a term that you hear in the States. Ever. We don't know what it means. But that may be because the Brits seem a bit confused on the definition as well. If you look it up, you'll find that chuffed is an adjective meaning delighted, pleased, satisfied. Okay, that makes sense. But next, you'll see that chuffed is an adjective that means the complete opposite, annoyed, displeased, disgruntled. So was our Christmas baking champion happy with her win, or was she upset? Probably because she only gets a cake plate. You see, chuffed has both meanings. So one can say it to mean pleased or to mean displeased. Its original definition was negative. The word began in the 1520s as swollen with fat, and by the 1830s, it had evolved to mean surly and gruff. The positive meaning came out during the 1950s. It was originally used in Northern England to mean proud, and this was adopted by the military, which then led to a more generalized usage. So, to summarize, chuff is a negative phrase and a positive one. People claim they are chuffed off. They snap, chuffed if I know. They declare, I'll be chuffed. And if they're really pleased and delighted, then they'll say they are chuffed. Clear as a cake stand. Cheers and happy Christmas.
Another great one there, Bob. I gotta say, I don't think you often hear it in the negative terms. I think pretty much it's chuffed, is I'm chuffed to bits, I'm very happy. Yeah, I'm trying to think if I ever chuffed off, I think I've heard. Yeah, but I don't think I've heard it often. It's normally, yeah, chuffed to bits. Yeah, so there you go. Great work. Bob, you can be chuffed with yourself for that one. See what I did there? Right, now let's do this.
Humbug.
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 Bah humbug.
It's all humbug, I tell you.
Christmas a humbug, Uncle. Oh, you don't mean that, surely.
Boys and girls, this episode's version of A Christmas Carol is not really a version of A Christmas Carol. It's one of the most convoluted stories I've covered yet, and it is an episode of DuckTales. Now, I don't know if you watched DuckTales. I used to watch it a bit in the 90s, and then they brought it out again in the 2000s. 2017 it came back. It lasted for 3 seasons. This episode was episode 6 from season 2 and aired on the 1st of December in 2018. Now, it's only 22 minutes long, but watching it felt a lot longer. I'm going to try and explain it to you, and you're going to sit there and think, this makes no sense. And I'll be like, yeah, I know, it doesn't make much sense, but I'm trying to cover all these versions of A Christmas Carol. There's going to be some stinkers in there. However, you might have watched it before and thought, do you know what? I thought that was fantastic. I can't see that happening. It's a possibility. It's got a rating of 8.7 on IMDb. 8.7, and that's out of 10. If it was out of 100, I'd understand it. But out of 10, 8.7. Let's just go through the story, right? You're going to have to just buckle in, and I'll do my best to explain what happens, and that's it. That's what's going to happen. Okay? Right, so we open up, and the very beginning of it is they've done a different theme tune, because it's a Christmas one. They've changed the words. Do you know what? Let me play it for you. This is, do you know what? I'll play a clip of the original one. Just a little clip. Here it comes.
Life is like a hurricane here in Duckburg. Race cars, lasers, aeroplanes. It's a Duckburg. Might solve the mystery. Hurry, right history. DuckTales.
So that's the original theme music, and this is the Christmas one. Have a listen to this.
Life is like a candy cane here in Duckburg. Snowflakes, presents, Santa's sleigh. It's a Duckler. Might make bells jingle or trap Kris Kringle. DuckTales. Christmas Eve, we're out there making DuckTales. Tales of Christmas past and Yuletide DuckTales.
Actually, I thought that was pretty good, because I remember the theme tune from when I used to watch it when I was a kid in the 90s. So to listen to that, I thought, yeah, that's pretty good. And to be honest, kids, that was the peak. It was all downhill from there. So it opens up and you've got Webby decorating a tree with the ghost butler. I don't know why he's a ghost. I don't remember him being a ghost in the old series, so I don't know what's going on there. And if you're going, who's Webby? Well, Webby, from what I could gather, is the cousin of Huey, Dewey and Louie. She's about their height, same age. I say cousin, I don't know. Okay, So they're decorating the tree. Actually, that wasn't that bad because she's decorating the tree and then she holds up a picture of what it's supposed to look like and then takes it down and the tree's in a mess. That was mildly amusing. Then Scrooge comes in and he hates Christmas and he's going mad and telling everyone, because they're all down there now, and he's telling them all how much he hates Christmas. Christmas sucks. I think he says Christmas is shit. He doesn't say that either. It's a kid's show. Where was I? Oh, yeah. So he destroys this animatronic Santa and he's like, oh, I'm going to bed. It's like quite early still. Then we cut to Dewey, and Dewey is sitting on his own in his room looking at his picture of his mum when he was, I think he's still an egg in it. So there's like three eggs, and then there's Scrooge in the middle, and his mum, Della, her name is, and Donald, his uncle there. And Donald comes in and he's singing Christmas carols, and Dewey's like, nah, I'm not getting involved in it. I'm sorry, I don't want to. And then Donald sees the picture that he's looking at and understands that he misses his mum, even though he's never met her. But let's move on from that. Then Dewey, he's in his room and he sees a light coming from Scrooge's room, and he's like, what's going on? What's that flashing light going on? So he goes out there to have a look, and Scrooge is having a party. And are you ready? There's three guests in there. Three guests, okay? Who are the guests? There's a clue in what I just said. Yeah, the guests are the ghosts. So this is the deal. He's in there having a Christmas party with the ghost of Christmas past, present, and yet to come. I think they call him future. I'll describe what they look like, not that you care. So the ghost of Christmas past is very similar, but not Jiminy Cricket, to Jiminy Cricket. So he's a little cricket, and he's green, and that's pretty much that. Then you've got the ghost of Christmas present, and he looks just like the ghost of Christmas present, with the green robe and that, but he's a pig. Yeah. Don't know why. I don't know what's going on there. And the ghost of Christmas yet to come, pretty much the same, wearing a robe. You can sort of see his face a little bit. He's like, looks pretty miserable. So they're there having this party. Scrooge is like chugging a drink and they're going, Scrooge, 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 Scrooge. And what the deal is that Scrooge actually loves Christmas. Now, there's no references made to the Mickey's Christmas Carol. None at all. Okay? I don't think that I noticed. And the deal is that Scrooge actually loves Christmas, but he pretends he hates it, I think. I don't know. It's so convoluted. I watched it like three times. And I'm trying to keep it clear. So what it was years ago, the ghosts were going around looking for Scrooges or people like Scrooge. And they came across Scrooge and he's like, he's great. Oh, we love him. So we come back every year to see him after we've done our stuff with the other Scrooge or miser that we've dealt with that year, I think. And what happens is the ghost of Christmas past uses his Timebrella, which is an umbrella that he can use to travel through time. You've got to remember that, kids. And they go round looking for the best Christmas parties ever. So I guess when they're doing that chugging bit, Scrooge, 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 and he's drinking the drink, I guess they're sort of pre-gaming it, because after he's finished his drink, they shoot off out the window, going back in time. Yeah. Dewey's sort of seen all this. Anyway, they go back in time to one of Scrooge's first Christmas parties as a business owner. I think it's his first party when he became a millionaire. And he's having this big old party. A part of this was actually my favourite bit, is he walks up the steps, and as he's walking up the steps, there's like the young version of him, and he goes, oh, young me, old me.
Young me, old me.
So they greet each other as he walks into the party, and he goes into the party and it's like a great big Christmas party. Everyone's having a wonderful time, and his housekeeper's there dancing. Her name's 22, and I could go into why she's called 22, but I can't be bothered. But that's the name of his housekeeper. She's dancing away, and the ghost of Christmas present's like, I like the look of her. So he wants to dance with her. She's not interested in him. She wants to dance with the ghost of Christmas future. Don't ask me why, but that's what happens. And Scrooge is told by his butler to do some networking, which is strange, because surely his butler would notice that he looks a damn sight older than... Oh, forget it. Anyway, he's going around, and it's really boring. Like, he doesn't want to talk business. And then he sees Goldie. I don't want to go into who Goldie was. She was in the comics. She's called Goldie because she's a bit of a gold digger. And when Scrooge first met her in the comics, she stole a load of his gold. Anyway, he sees her and he's like, oh, I'll go and speak to her. While he's trying to get through the crowd to speak to her, everyone's jumping his way. Oh, Scrooge, I've got a business proposal. Scrooge, come and do some business with me. And he's like, no, I want to speak to her. And then he sees that Goldie is nicking a candelabra and shoving it in her bag. And he's like, oh, everyone just wants a piece of my fortune. And then it's like this wall sort of explodes, and in come the Beagle Boys. Yeah. Now, the Beagle Boys are just trying to steal everything, and they're just grabbing everything, and they're going to run off and nick the whole party, and everyone starts leaving. So Scrooge is all upset, and the ghost of Christmas past is like, let me take you to a better Christmas. So they fly off through time, and it's Scrooge's first ever Christmas in Duckville. Duckburg. Was it called Duckburg? Duckburg. And at this point, when he first got there, this is when he was like a miner, and all he's got is like a tent and a log next to a fire. And it's just him, Scrooge, not old, not Scrooge from the past, Scrooge from the present. Him and the Ghost of Christmas Past are just sat there on this log. And I can't remember why. I think Scrooge wants to leave, but the Ghost of Christmas Past is saying, no, we should stay here where it's peaceful. And Scrooge is like, no, and they have a massive fight. And Scrooge steals the Timebrella. And he flies off and leaves the Ghost of Christmas Past in the past. Now, at this point, we cut back to when Scrooge and the ghosts first left. Dewey was in the room. He has grabbed hold of the Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come's robe, and as they're flying through time to the past, he can't hold on anymore, lets go, and he lands. Goodness me, this is so hard to explain. I hope you're keeping track of this. And he lands when, not where, it's back at Scrooge's mansion, but it's when Donald was little with Della, that's Dewey's mum, when she was little as well. They were like, I don't know, I guess, sort of, I'm guessing roughly teenagers, maybe 12, 13, that sort of, I'm guessing. Now, at this point, can I just stop and check if you're keeping up to date with what's going on? If you're not, I'm not surprised. I was having trouble. But just let me get to the end of it and then we can do something else. So where was I? Oh yeah, so Dewey's there and Donald is sat on his bed, right, playing a guitar, and it's kind of like grunge. So I'm guessing it's meant to be like the 90s, and he's just playing a guitar and it sounds very much like Nirvana. And Dewey's like, hi, I'm your 15th... I'll let him tell you.
My name is Bluey, your 15th step-cousin on your great-grandmother's niece's side from Canada, eh?
Yeah, that's what he says, right? That's who he is. And he wants to see Della, see how she's doing. Well, his mum is camped out because she's trying to catch Santa Claus, apparently. And so Dewey's like, oh, can we go and see her? So Donald and Dewey go outside and there's this tent. And Donald's like, well, she's got much more food than she needs. And this tent's far too big for just one person. You've got to pay attention to that bit, okay? You've got to pay attention to that bit. That bit's important. And he's like, but she's nowhere to be seen. And then they see some tracks. So they start following the tracks, right? And they find Della's scarf in a tree. And like, well, she must have been around here somewhere. The big tracks are still going, but her tracks have disappeared. I don't know what's going on. All of a sudden, out of the bush, comes this huge creature, this monster. It's a Wendigo. He turns up and they run away and they get caught in this net, which is a trap that Della has set for Santa Claus. So they're stuck in this net, a bit like the bit in Return of the Jedi, you know, the bit where they're all caught by the Ewoks. They're stuck in this big net hanging from a tree. And Della's there and she's like, oh yeah, that creature that's trying to catch you, he's a Wendigo, he's a poor soul. Actually, I'll play how she describes what a Wendigo is. Have a listen to this.
What is that thing?
I guess a Wendigo. Legend has it that they're poor souls turned into monsters by obsession and desperation.
Right? And she's like, yeah, I'll cut you out. And she's going to cut them out. And she's, but then Donald's sort of arguing with her. And then this is when Dewey realises that the reason she had like a bigger tent than she needed and more food than she needed was because she wanted to spend the time with Donald. But Donald was just spending his time on his own writing his grunge songs. So she cuts them free just before the Wendigo gets there, and there's a bit of a fight with the Wendigo, and they manage to knock it out and wrap it up in the net again somehow, and they drag it back to Scrooge's house. Now at this point, Donna and Della go inside and they're like, oh, you look after the Wendigo. Well, the Wendigo sorts itself out and starts trying to eat Dewey or something, and Dewey's like, oh dear, I'm in trouble, just as he's about to get eaten or something by the Wendigo. Who should come and save the day but Scrooge and the Ghost of Christmas Present and Christmas Future. And he explains, oh my lord, he explains that as he was flying back through time, he saw Dewey down there. This is some, okay, I'm trying to get through it. He saw Dewey down there battling with the Wendigo and he saved the day. And the Wendigo turns out, right, his head sort of like collapses and comes off like it's made of clay or something. And it turns out that the Wendigo was actually the Ghost of Christmas Past, who's been there in this forest all this time, of course, because Scrooge never got it back when it got him back. So he turned into a Wendigo. Do you remember the poor soul bit they talked about earlier? Yeah, you're right. It doesn't make any sense. I know. So then Scrooge uses the Tom Umbrella to take Dewey and the ghosts back. Well, I don't know where the ghosts go, actually. He takes Dewey back to present day, and they all sit round and sing songs. And goodness. Actually, let me play the song they're singing at the end, because that was mildly humorous. Have a listen to this.
On the 12th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 12 days of Christmas, 11 planes of flying, 10 days of Christmas, 8 days of Christmas. Oops, forgot the 9th day, 7 samurai, 6 comes after 7.
Lots of Christmas days. 4 Christmas days, 3 Christmas days, 2 Christmas days, and a cartridge of Ritter Rink.
Gah, nailed it!
Yeah, and that, kids, is that. I hope it made some... Actually, because then, at the very end, it cuts to the moon, which is where Della is. She got stranded on the moon, taking some rocket on a test run, and she got stranded on the moon. And I ended up watching a couple of the later episodes to see what happened to her, and it's all about her escaping from the moon. But I'm not going to get into that, because I don't want to. And I'm sure you don't want me to either. So, yeah, that was pretty much it, really. Then you got the end music. Let me play a bit of that for you as well.
Duckburg Christmas is the time for friends and family to gather round the fire. And when Christmas past is home at last, the bells will finally ring on Duckburg Christmas.
Yeah, so as versions of A Christmas Carol go, this ain't one. But they've used the ghosts, and oh my life. So generally, I want to say that it's naff. The storyline is so convoluted and rubbish. I did not care for it at all. The whole thing was pointless. They could have done such a better job with it. They really could. They could have done a version of A Christmas Carol. They could have done that, but they chose not to. I'm guessing maybe it's because of the whole Mickey's Christmas Carol. That's why they didn't want to do a proper version. But I could be wrong. I don't know. Anyway, one thing I want to say is the voices. Now, I don't remember what the voices were like in the 90s version of DuckTales, because I did used to watch it, but, you know, I'm guessing they were pretty decent, because I was never really aware of the voices being naff. But this one, well, the voices are naff, really. David Tennant, yes, Doctor Who, David Tennant, he does the voice of Scrooge McDuck. And pretty much they were like, oh, we'll just get a Scottish bloke to do it, who sounds nothing like Scrooge McDuck. I'm used to listening to his voice in Mickey's Christmas Carol, and David Tennant's take on Scrooge is nothing like it. I wasn't impressed. Then you got Danny Pudi. I hope I said that right. He was in Community, if you watched that. I used to watch it, really like that. He does the voice of Huey, but Huey wasn't much in this episode. Then you got Ben Schwartz, and I recognised him. He used to be in a lot of episodes of Parks and Recreation. He played John Ralphio. I don't know if you remember that in Parks and Rec. He played Dewey, and Huey was voiced by a chap called Bobby Moynihan. No idea who he was. The only other person who I sort of recognised doing the voices was Paget Brewster, the Della Duck. That's obviously their mum, who was in later episodes. She's only in this episode for a very brief moment. And Kate Magucci, who did Webby. That's their cousin. Yeah, and you might know her. She was in Garfunkel and Oates, so you might know her. She's been a load of other stuff. Anyway, don't go and watch it. Or do. And don't blame me when you hate it. Well, that's it. Next time, I'm going to do a proper version of A Christmas Carol, because this has really upset me. Let's move on. Let's do this. Okay, boys and girls, we've been through this before. I know you don't find the jokes funny, okay? But if we can just get through this, we can move on to the next segment. And that's going to be really good. Possibly. I don't know. I haven't recorded it yet. Are you ready? Here comes your joke. It is proper Christmas, though. You might like this. What's worse than Rudolph with a runny nose? Frosty the Snowman with a hot flush. So, you know, it's Christmas, isn't it? It could have been a lot worse. This is the quiz, this is the quiz, this is the quiz, this is the quiz. Okay, boys and girls, now it's time for the quiz. Just a little update. Do you remember in the last episode I told you that Benji Pearson only got 2? That's right, a measly 2 in the previous quiz. Well, last week he got 6, which is the same as me. And I'm a little bit annoyed about that. So hopefully I can give him a good whipping this week. So we're going to get straight into it. Question number one. In which town was Jesus born? Hang on, what's that got to do with Christmas? Oh, I don't know. Anyway, question... I'm joking, kids. I'm joking. Don't write in. I do know that he was born at Christmas. That's why there was no room at the inn, wasn't it? Because all the inns were packed. Because everyone was visiting the town for Christmas, weren't they? Yeah. Right, question number two. What is traditionally cooked inside a Christmas pudding, which, if you find it in your portion, is said to bring good luck? What is that? I can tell you one thing, okay? It is not the head of a small mouse, okay? Now, they do cook that into a Christmas pudding, but if you get that slice, that's bad luck, okay? We're looking for what they cook in the pudding that's good luck. Makes sense. Question number three. In which 1998 film does Bill Murray play Frank Cross, a cynical and selfish TV boss wanting to produce a lavish live broadcast of A Christmas Carol on Christmas Eve? Well, I can tell you there is no 1998 film where Bill Murray plays Frank Cross because it's a 1988 film. So thank you, the biggest Christmas quiz book ever. You've let a lot of people down. Right, what are we up to? Next one. Oh yeah, we're up to question number next one. As in the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 1, verse 24, what did Joseph do immediately after the angel appeared to him? Okay, what did he do? Tell me. Question number 5. Complete the title of the 1985 film starring Mary Steenburgen, One Magic. One Magic what? Tell me. Tell me now. Question something. What was Justin Bieber's 2011 Christmas hit single? What was it called? What's the name of that song? Do you want me to sing it for you? I can't, because I don't know how it goes. But I do know the answer. I know what it's called. Not because I've looked, either. Because I remember the name of the song. I just don't know what it goes. Who cares? Next one. In Iceland, what does the Yule Cat do to people who do not get any new clothes for Christmas? Okay, what does he do to them? You should know that. I've covered it in a previous episode. If you want to pause this episode and go and listen to that episode, well, I wouldn't bother, you know, you can do it later, but I wouldn't do it now because, you know, I'll be telling you the answer in about, I don't know, 40 seconds time, maybe a minute or two. Okay? Okay. Next one. Who recorded the 2010 song Christmas in Harlem? I'm going to give you three options. Was it Jay-Z, Kanye West, or Will.i.am? Oh, no, we're up to number 9 now. Which British actor played Kris Kringle in the 1994 remake of Miracle on 34th Street? And the final question, in the 2006 rom-com, 2006, nearly 20 years old that film. In the 2006 rom-com film, The Holiday, which two actresses swap their homes in the UK and US around Christmas time to escape heartbreaks? Okay? Okay. Right, that was your 10 questions. Now I shall proceed with the 10 answers. Question number one. In which town was Jesus born? Well, of course, that was the little town of Bethlehem. Question number two. What is traditionally cooked inside a Christmas pudding, which, if you find it in your portion, is said to bring good luck? It is actually a mouse's head. Yeah, I was lying earlier. It does bring you really good luck and possible food poisoning. No, it's not actually. It's a coin, a silver coin. Used to be a sixpence. These days, might be a quid if you're lucky. I'm not lying, kids. My mum puts 20p in there. What good is 20p? That's like about, I don't know, you can Google it to find out. It's not a lot of money anyway, I'll tell you that. You're not going to be able to buy much with 20p. What's she doing putting 20p in there? I want a quid or nothing. And one year she did put nothing in. There was nothing in there at all. What's that about? Put a quid in there. I had to dip in my pocket, shove a quid in there. My slice. I put it in my slice while it was in my bowl. So I got the quid. I was quids in, as they say. Right, question number, I don't know. In which 1988 film, does Bill Murray play Frank Cross, a cynical and selfish TV boss, wanting to... You know the film is Scrooged, isn't it? Scrooged, we all knew that. Question number 4. In the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 1, verse 24, what did Joseph do immediately after the angel appeared to him? The answer was, he wet his pants. Yeah, he was terrified. I mean, he'd never seen an angel before, had he? And then one comes down in his bedroom And he's like, oh my days. And he lost all control of his bladder. Yeah, oh hang on, no, that's not what it says. He says he married Mary. And then he wet himself. No, it doesn't say anything about him wetting himself at all, actually. They brushed over that bit, didn't they? Didn't want people to know. Yeah, I got that one wrong, actually. I said he asked Mary to marry him. So, yeah, I got that one wrong. Next one. Complete the title of the 1985 film starring Mary Steenburgen, One Magic... Bearing in mind this is a Christmas quiz, it's One Magic Christmas. They do that a lot in this book, actually. Like, if a film has got Christmas in the title, they'll give you the rest of the title apart from the word Christmas. Yeah, it's not the first time we've had a question like that. Right, question number something. What was this single by Justin Bieber in 2011 that was called Mistletoe? Yeah, I knew that. Couldn't sing it. Don't know what it sounds like. Know nothing about it. I said I know nothing about it. That's not true. I've heard it, but I can't get it up in my pea brain. So, next one. In Iceland, what does the Yule Cat do to people who do not get any new clothes for Christmas? He goes to the shops and purchases them a brand new suit. Or for ladies, a dress. And some nice shoes. That's not true. Do you know what he does to them? He eats them. Why would he do that? Why not eat the people that got new clothes? Because they've got to taste better, haven't they? They're there in their dirty old stinking rags. And he's like, all right, come here. I'm coming. What for? I'm going to eat you. Why? Eat him over there. Look, he's got a brand new t-shirt on. I bet it's got that, you know, when you get it from the shop, it's got that fresh smell about it. Can't you go and eat him? No, it's in the rules. That conversation has probably never taken place. But that's what the Yule Cat does. Yeah, he eats him. Yep. Okay, who recorded the 2010 song Christmas in Harlem? I went for Jay-Z. The correct answer was Kanye West. Oh, we're up to number 9. Which British actor played Kris Kringle at tennis in 1994? That were actually, no, he played the character Kris Kringle. They weren't playing any sport. Okay. Who played him in the 1994 remake of Miracle on 34th Street? It was, of course, Richard Attenborough, or as I call him, Dickie. Dickie Attenborough. Actually, I don't call him anything now because, as we all know, he's dead. And the final question. In the 2006 rom-com film, The Holiday, which two actresses swapped their homes in the UK and US around Christmas time to escape heartbreaks? That was, of course... Kate Winslet and Cameron Diaz. However, I will accept Cameron Diaz and Kate Winslet. Okay? Okay. That was it. Yeah. And I scored 8 that time. So, Benji, let me know how you got on. Everyone else, I hope you did really well. And if you hated it, don't worry, because now we're doing this. Bob is back, boys and girls, and you can't see him, but let me tell you, his outfit is fantastic. Bob, I love your dress, mate. I love that floral design. You look fantastic.
Thanks, Jack. Today's Smile of Joy is from good friend of the show and festive fan, Benji Pearson, our Scandinavian-American correspondent. He gained it from observing another act of kindness. When he came home on Valentine's Day, his kids had the living room floor covered in red, pink, purple, and white paper, and they were busily cutting out hearts. They were writing kind notes on the hearts and taping them to a neighbor's front door. They called it a heart attack. As Benji writes, sometimes we get the idea that Valentine's Day is only for couples, but really, it is a day to spread love to friends, classmates, and the community. His idea is to take a little Christmas cheer and wrap it into all the other holidays. In America, he suggests maybe a surprise pot of chocolate gold on St. Patrick's Day for a good neighbor who you don't see very often. Or surprise a coworker with a mini Easter basket for Easter. Or give out flags and thank yous on Memorial Day to community members who served in the military. You can find holidays and special days every month, wherever you live, to come up with small gestures to delight people. Like deliver a small bouquet of flowers to a widow on Mother's Day. Provide copies of the Emancipation Proclamation to friends on Juneteenth. Or share moon pies with neighborhood kids for Mardi Gras. We need to extend the Christmas spirit all year round And Benji's idea is to use the other holidays throughout the year as a reminder to always be kind. If you know a celebratory way to spread a smile of joy, let us know how you can make every day a holiday for others. We love to discover new ways to throw our arms around the world.
That was another lovely segment there. I really do enjoy the Spread a Smile of Joy segment, and I do try to take it on board as well. So that's something I'm going to try this Easter. Somehow, somewhere, I'm going to come up with giving Easter eggs to people that I don't necessarily know. Great work, Benji. Thank you for sending that through. And everyone else, if you've got any ideas of little things you can do to spread a bit of joy, then let me know, send them in, and I'll pass them on to Bob, and he'll share it with everyone else. While I'm here, I do it every week. I'm doing it this week. Check out Bob's podcast, Festive Foreign Film Fans. The latest episode was about a film in Argentina, and it was really good. You've got to listen to this podcast, even if you don't watch the films. It makes you think, do you know what? I should watch that film, this one particularly. Great work, Bob. If you haven't checked out Festive Foreign Film Fans, it's called Festive Foreign Film Fans. Google it, and you won't have any trouble finding it. Now let's do this. So boys and girls, this episode we are looking at a Christmas tradition in Greece. Now in Greece, they have a gentleman that delivers presents around Christmas time, and he has a long beard, and he is a saint. And his name is Saint Basil. What's that now? I think you mean Saint Nicholas. No, actually, you know, actually, I do mean Saint Basil. No, you mean Saint Nicholas. Actually, it is Saint Basil. Well, it's not actually Saint Basil. It is Agios Vasilios, which translates directly to Saint Basil. Yeah, kids, and I'm not kidding you. He doesn't bring the presents on Christmas Eve. He brings them on New Year's Day. Yeah, that's right. And I tell you what, kids, he does not look like Santa Claus. No, he doesn't. Do you remember last year we talked about Christmas in the Netherlands and we were talking about St. Nicholas, and he actually is dressed as a bishop, and that's the gentleman that comes and brings the presents to the kids. Well, St. Basil, he looks like a bishop. Yeah, he's tall, he's slim, he does have a long beard, very dark beard in a lot of the pictures, very dark eyes, and he's wearing his bishop robes. Yeah, that's the guy that brings the presents. So I'm going to tell you the story of Agios Vasilios, or as I like to call him, St. Basil. He was born in Caesarea, which was, I believe, a part of Turkey, in the year 330. And he came from a wealthy family, and he was one of 10 children. And originally, he studied rhetoric and law. He travelled a lot all over Palestine, Egypt, Syria, and Mesopotamia to study. And then he returned to Caesarea, where he actually started teaching it to other people. And then one day, he met Eustathius of Sebaste. I hope I'm saying these things right. You know, you just have to assume I'm saying them right because I'm giving it my best shot, I suppose. This guy, Eustathius of Sebaste, was a renowned monastic leader, and St. Basil chatted to him a bit, and he thought, you know what, forget it. I don't want to study law. I don't want to teach law anymore. I'm going to be a monk. And that's what he did. Yeah, and him and his brother, whose name was Peter, they founded a monastery on his family's estate because his family was very wealthy, very wealthy. His father died, though, when he was quite young. But I say quite young, I don't know his exact age when his dad died, but at this point, when he founded the monastery, his dad had already passed away. But his mum and his sister, and of course his brother Peter, they all helped him found this monastery. They built the monastery up and taught people how to live like a monk. So he's got this monastery going, and in the year 370, he became the Bishop of Caesarea, and as bishop, he made helping the poor and the ill a priority, and he gave away all his inheritance. I say he gave it all away. It also says that he started charities, so I'm guessing he put the money into charities to help the poor, and he opened up a soup kitchen as well. Yeah, there you go. So I had a good look at lots of different pictures of St. Basil, and I was kind of expecting there to be a few where he looked a bit more jovial, dishing out presents to all the kids. I didn't find any. In all of them, he's just this tall, fairly gaunt-looking guy with a long, dark beard, standing there, looking a bit like a monk. There was one where he had a sack of toys over his shoulder, but you had to look closely to see that that's what it was. He still looked just like a boring old monk. Not saying he's that boring, you know, still giving you free presents, but he did look pretty boring. So, yeah. And that really surprised me, because I would have thought, over time, the myth might have changed a bit, you know, and developed so that, like the myth of Santa Claus or St. Nicholas. But no, pretty much all the pictures, he looks like a skinny old monk. Yeah. Now, one thing I read, which I thought was quite amazing, was that, obviously he's a saint, because it's in his name, right? Four of his siblings also became saints. Four, can you imagine that? Imagine that. You know, if you become a doctor, your mum's proud. She'll be chatting to her friends. Or oh, he's a doctor now. Yeah, he's doing really well for himself. Or if he's some dirty-ass gardener, she'll be like, oh, he works in horticulture, my son does. Imagine that. If you could turn around and go, oh, my kids, well, one of my daughters is a nun. Four of them are doing other careers and five of them are saints. That's right, saints. Five of my kids are saints. How many of your kids are saints? Yeah. Of course, to be a saint, you have to be dead. So my kids are also dead. But at the same time, they're saints. So beat that. Yeah. That conversation probably never took place. So I had a good look into this, and I couldn't find many stories about the life of St. Basil, sadly. You know, I've got a segment sometimes called Stories About St. Nicholas, and there was loads of different stories about the life of St. Nicholas. Scott Newman would read them out. He hasn't done it for a while. You know why? Because he's blooming lazy, Scott. Do you hear me? You're blooming lazy. Go and record some of them stories. I sent him a couple of suggestions before Christmas. He asked for them as well. I said, yeah, if you want to read out a couple, that'd be great. Here's two for you. Nothing. Radio silence ever since. Congratulations, Scott. You've let me down. Right, where was I? I did find one nice story about St. Basil, and this is it. Are you ready? The governor of Cappadocia, now I don't know where that is. I'm hoping it's part of Caesarea, otherwise this wouldn't make a lot of sense. So this governor, he is getting fed up with people not paying their taxes. And the problem is, right, all the people, they're avoiding their taxes because they're spending their money on beer and hookers, apparently. I've made that bit up, but apparently that's what's happening. So they're out there, blasted all their money against the wall, and the governor's furious. He's like, right, why aren't people paying their taxes? I just told you why. And he's furious. He's like, right, that's it. Everyone's got to pay your taxes. Everyone, I want all your back taxes paid. This is it. No messing around. Don't pay them. There's going to be big trouble. Well, all the people are terrified. Okay, they're like, oh no, I'm going to be in big trouble. They go running to St. Basil because he's their beloved bishop. Now, I said St. Basil. He wouldn't have been St. Basil then, would he? He would have just been Basil or Bishop Basil, probably. Anyway, they go up to him like, oh, Basil, you got to help me. The governor wants me to pay my taxes, but I spent all my money on hookers. Man, all my money's gone on hookers. Why did I waste it on hookers? I didn't waste it on hookers. I invested it on hookers. It was brilliant. But now I've got no money. What can you do about this? And Basil's like, well, hold on. Okay, listen, guys. Now, I know you blasted all your money on hookers. I'm not a fan of that. Okay, I'm a bishop. And I'm also going to be a saint when I die. We all know there are better ways to spend your money, okay? You could have spent it on paying your taxes. You could have spent it on helping the poor. No, I'm just kidding. No, hookers is the way to go. You did the right thing. You spent your money wisely, guys. Well done. But obviously now you've got no money, you're going to be in trouble, okay? So what we're going to do, everyone in the village, paying up, are you listening at the back? Yeah, what we're going to do, I want everyone to get a nice object of value. We'll give those to the governor. And I'm sure it'll be like, okay, I know you're trying, guys. I hope those hookers are paying their taxes, though, because they're getting all your money. Somebody in this town better be paying their taxes. Right, where was I? Oh, yeah. Right, get me those. This is how he talked. Get me those items, and we'll take them to the governor, and it'll all be cool. So that's what happens. Basil gets all this stuff, and he takes it to the governor, and he explains the situation. He's like, look, governor, you know, the people, they've got no money. They spent all their money on hookers. But what we've done is we've all got items of value, and we're going to give you those, okay? And then we're going to save up some money, and we'll pay. If we don't blast it on hookers, we'll be able to pay the taxes. But in the meantime, we've got these items of value. And the governor's like, Well, I can't take it, can I? I can't take it. That's such a nice gesture, and I appreciate the way you've spoken to me. And to be honest, I spent all my money on hookers. That's why I'm so desperate to get these taxes paid, because I need my money for hookers, don't I? So, I tell you what, guys, you keep your items of value, and we'll just call it evens, okay? Well, here's the problem. Everyone in the town is very relieved to be able to keep their property, but it's impossible to return each object to its rightful owner, isn't it? Because they've got this like, massive box full of crap. And I say crap. It was meant to be an object of value, but, you know, it's a lot of them weren't putting the good stuff in. They're putting some crap in. Anyway, St. Basil comes up with this great solution. He gets every family to bake a large cake, inside which they would hide one of these precious objects. And St. Basil distributed the cakes amongst everyone, and miraculously, everyone was able to find their own property again. Can you believe that? Well, it was a miracle. Could be the reason he's a saint now. Yeah, and that's the story. So since then, in memory of the story, when they're celebrating at New Year's, they prepare a sweet cake called a Vasilopita, which means Vasilo is obviously Basil. We've covered that bit, haven't we? And pita is bread, as you know. So it means Basil's bread, but it's a sweet cake. And they stick a gold coin inside the cake. A bit like, remember we were talking about the Christmas pudding? Yeah, whoever gets the slice of cake with the gold coin in it, they'll get good luck and happiness for the whole year. So there you go. That is the story of St. Basil dishing out a load of stuff to all the people that wasted their money on hookers. Now, just to clarify, there is a tiny bit of artistic license in that story, and that is the fact that I'm not 100% sure the reason the people in the village had no money was because they'd spent their money on hookers. I'm just assuming that's where the money had gone. But other than that, it's 100% true. And that's the story, boys and girls, of St. Basil. So if you're in Greece, don't be hanging out your stocking on Christmas Eve. Hang it out. I don't know what they hang out, actually. It didn't even say what they hang out. It just, we just know that that's when the presents are delivered. New Year's Day. And New Year's Day is St. Basil's Day. We've discussed this before, but if you didn't know this, a saint's day is the day that they passed. And we talked about this before as well, how St. Nicholas passed away on the 6th of December. That's why his saint's day is then. And it's like he's the closest saint to Christmas, and that's why he became the gift giver. Now, I guess if St. Nicholas had passed away in the middle of July, well, then maybe all around the world we'd be waiting up on Christmas Eve for St. Basil. Yeah. I don't know, it's just mere speculation. But that, boys and girls, is what goes on in Greece. Now let's do this. Boys and girls, this episode's recommendation actually comes from last episode. Do you remember Bob in Spread a Smile of Joy was talking about the StoryCorps podcast, and they did a season of stories about people that had done nice things for other people? Well, after his recommendation, I gave it a listen and I loved it. I really did. So uplifting, and it will bring a smile of joy to your face. So here comes the promo for that season of StoryCorps. Here it comes.
Someone recently asked me if a stranger had ever done a nice thing for me, and I'm from New York, so I immediately said no. But then I remembered a few weeks ago, this sweet older man from my block paid for my bodega coffee when I didn't have enough money. And it got us thinking, how common is compassion? So we asked you.
Someone stopped, got out of their car, and came over. This gentleman, this kind stranger.
Someone gave me their kidney that I did not know before.
Because of that small act of kindness she did for me, I was able to apply to a college.
I called the woman I had just met on the bus. He said, grab your belongings and come stay with me until we can figure this out.
Apparently, compassion is a lot more common than I thought. So our new season of the StoryCorps podcast from NPR is all about the helpers around us. It drops May 3rd. You can find it on the NPR One app, at npr.org, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'll put a link in the show notes. And if you want to check it out, it's called StoryCorps Podcast. And this season of their lovely little stories started on May the 3rd in 2022. So if you go to iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcast, scroll back to May of 2022 and you'll see the season start there. So yeah, definitely check it out. It's a delightful podcast with loads of lovely stories. Can't do better than that. And And that is it for this episode. I hope you've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed being here with you. If you want to get in touch, you know I'd love to hear from you. If you want to email, it's totalchristmas@gmail.com. And if you want to go on Facebook, I'd guess just type in Total Christmas Podcast and I'll come up. Or you can check out the website, and that is totalchristmaspodcast.com. I'll be back again in 2 weeks' time. In the meantime, you know I love you. Merry, happy Christmas.
Hello! Hello! How are you? How are you? I asked you first. I asked you first. Oh, that's really mature, saying exactly what I said. I'm an idiot!
You're an idiot! You're an idiot!
All right, fine. I'm not talking to you anymore. In fact, I'm going to whisper so that by the time my voice reverberates off the walls and gets back to me,